All right, it's the DT difference. It's 30 years experience in the game, DT Systems. E-collars we've been using for a while now, but let's quickly talk about their dummy launchers. They got the Super Pro dummy launcher and the remote dummy launcher. It's a great way for you and your dog to get ready for duck season. Loud bangs, make sure your dog's cool with gunfire before you use it. But I want you to add it to your repertoire, bag of tricks, and get you and your dog ready for duck season. It's the Super Pro Dummy Launcher by DT. Gunner Kennels, baby. Hashtag man's best kennel. Well, it's also now hashtag man's best food crate. It's freaking raccoon proof. You can't get into this thing. Your dog can't bust into the lid and eat all the food. Trust me, I know Memphis has done it in the past. She looks like a blown up pumpkin. Boom. But not anymore. We've got the Gunner Kennel food crate. It's easy to pack, easy to store, keeps food dry, which food's an investment, man. That Purina, baby, it ain't cheap anymore. So keep it dry, good, all that stuff, easy to pack, easy to store. The Gunner Kennel food crate, slide into DMs if you'd like to learn more. Force fetch, what is it? It's super intimidating to so many people, yet it's not that difficult. I built a step-by-step process that helps you understand it. You and your dog can be successful in it, and it takes the intimidation away of the process so that you and your dog can get to your goals. That's what it's built for. Let me teach you how I do it so that you and your dog can do it. Different breeds, different personalities, problem solving, and more. Check it out. Links in the description. The Force Fetch course, baby.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Lone Ducks Gun Dog Chronicles. As always, thank you so much for your support. We're getting some five-star reviews. We're getting some cool comments. We're getting a lot of feedback on old Instagram, at Lone Duck. Thank you all. It's super fun to hear from you and answer your questions and grow this podcast. So tell your buddies, tell your ladies. It's going to be more growth 2020, so keep tuning in. Now, we're doing a little different episode tonight. Kevin had an idea. We're going to switch it up, a little switcheroo, skidoo, and we're going to do something called an Ask Me Anything. Now, I've never heard one of these things. It reminds me of my college days. And
how old are you that you've never heard someone doing an AMA?
Literally, when you said we're going to do an AMA tonight, I'm like, excuse me?
My God.
And so he goes, ask me anything. I'm like, what is this, a college drinking game? A little Never Have I Ever? I don't even know. AMA.
Wouldn't last long.
No, yeah. It'd be like, yep, done it. Yep, done it. Yep, done it. All right.
I need to do that.
So it's I'm excited for it. I don't know any of the questions that he wrote down.
Nope.
So it'll be the first time hearing it, and I think we'll have fun with it, and it'll be a cool way to get to know me a little bit, you know? Lone Duck Bob, Yankee Bob, Uncle Bobby. I've been called a lot of other names, but we'll keep them here.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We can keep you can
all use your creativity. But first, quick thank you to our sponsors. You know who they are. Yukonuba Bebe, the food that fuels our dogs, building champions. I'm really pleased with it. I think if you'd like to try it, now's the time. They have several different blends that I think you should look up and learn about before you pick the right one for your dog. The puppy blend is suggested for 0 to 24 months. The adult blend is a great blend for active dogs, athletic dogs, but maybe dogs that don't do work every day, all day.
It's kind of what I feed my dogs, because they're half, well, not even half, they're mostly house dogs, and then we hunt on the weekends and sometimes after work and all that good stuff, but they do great on it.
Right. And then the 30-20 for those high tilt, full tilt, working dogs daily, putting in miles, working hard. So check out the right blend for you and your dog. Gunner Kennels, what can I say?
Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming, baby. And listen, they've had some deals. I don't actually know if you get this tomorrow. Their deals might be coming close to an end. So if you want, check them out. Gunner Kennels, the safest ride for your dog. Lastly, Waypoint Outdoor Collective, big ol' thank you. They are the host of our podcast and the analytic tool that keeps us in tune with you and your needs. Check them out. They've got a lot of other outdoor podcasts. Waypoint Outdoor Collective, baby. All right, we are with the AMA, Ask Me Anything. We've got Instagram Live rolling, and Scott ripped in real quick with a first question before Kevin even got to answer. I got Andy in my lap, too, so if you hear it licking in my ear, that's her. It's cute. Gives me tingles.
Somebody wants to know what kind of dog that is.
This is an English setter. Andy is my meat dog, grouse dog, woodcock dog, pheasant dog, lap dog, and having a hard time finding her spot on my lap here. Scott asked if I've ever shot a band. I have, and I think they've only been goose bands, and one was a neck collar. So I had a neck collar and a leg band on one Canada goose, and then I've killed two other Canada goose bands. So no duck bands for me. Memphis has picked up a couple duck bands, but other people had shot them. All right, Kevin, what's your first AMA, you tool?
If anybody else has a few things.
See you later, Andy.
Andy's going to totally knock over the thing here. That's all right. If anybody else has stuff. Oh, Scott says thank you.
Nice. Yeah, man.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, we're reading everybody's on Instagram. How do you deal with a whining dog in the hunting blind? Got any advice?
I had this question from a client of mine come in today. Whining in the blind. First of all, Kev, let's get into the AMAs, but I'll answer this question.
Somebody had a question.
I know. It's easier to deal with in training because in training we can handle the situation. We can deny the dog a retrieve. One thing I like to do that's not a physical correction is I'll heel the dog towards the bird being thrown, and as the bird is going off, I'll send the dog as they're walking. So instead of being sitting there and pent up and excited and they whine and yip and carry on, you can create some distraction by heeling and sending them while they're walking when they're not expecting it and there's no sound. That's a nice way of doing it. Another nice way would be like straight up deny them the retrieve, walk away, get them under control, come back, try again. Nope, sit out, you know. And then the other thing is just hammer on obedience. So I guess to go back, like, let's say my dog whines. Okay, heel, no bird, here. Go pick up that bird, buddy, you know, my bird boy. Go,
right.
Or, you know, okay, you have to use wingers or you throw it from your hip, whatever the case may be. Nope, dog, no retrieve, walk away, put him up. Go get pick that bird up. Or for me, I've got a bird boy, pick that bird up, and you're done.
Yeah.
And then I bring them back out. When they sit still and they're quiet, they get the retrieve. And it is the – literally, I can train a dog to jump through hoops. To get a dog who's overly jacked up and whines is hard to fix. So then in the duck blind, it's even harder because what are you going to do? You can't you can deny them the retrieve, but it's probably going to make it worse. You can use the e-collar, but that could make it worse. There's some things, and like I'm going to tell you how to do it or – what to try. Don't judge me. This is not necessarily what I'm telling you you should do. This is what other people have done. It works. I've tried it on some dogs. Boss, my dad's dog, you know, you bite him on the nose. So you grab him by the nose and you go, and you bite him on the nose and hold down and then let him go. That's an instinctual dog thing that a mother dog would do to a puppy to correct the puppy for whatever they're doing, so they get it. Some people bite them on the ear. Some, I think, grabbing them by the collar and shaking the snot out of them, where they're like, whoa, okay. And you're just snapping them out of that fixation, that crazy mode. But I promise you, none of those things could work. One of those things could work. All of them could work. I don't know your dog. I don't know how bad it is, but I can promise you it's easily the hardest thing to fix. So,
where and when did you get your first dog, Buck?
My first dog, Buck, he is now in March. He'll be 10. I got him in Ogdensburg, New York from Border Crossing Kennels.
Cool.
I see Greg and Nancy Mills. Excellent people. They're probably in their mid-60s, I would say. Maybe a little bit older. And they run the same circuit I run. So I see them in Ohio. I see them in New York at tests. I see them at Master National. Buck's mother got a Master National plate.
Yeah,
at
buddy.
Almost 10 years old. She's still running and looks good. And got her first Master National plate this year.
That doesn't make sense. How is she 10 if Buck's going to be 10? He can't be 10.
They're both almost 10. Buck's mother. Excuse me. Sister. I'm sorry.
I was going to say.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. You're right. Buck's sister, Ruby, got a Master National plate. I don't know what I was thinking. But I've seen Buck's mother run, actually, back in the day.
Right.
You know, just really neat. So anyways, these are great people. Well, what I would recommend to you is not to buy a dog out of a paper. I did. But back then, I knew what I was looking for. I knew I was looking for Grand Hunting Retriever Champion, Master Hunter, Field Champion. And in this little, but I still would look in the newspaper just to be like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to get a Great Dane? Wouldn't it be cool to get a this? And just seeing what was there was like a mini hobby for me to like daydream about a dog that I've always wanted. So long story short, I'm looking through and I see Labrador Retriever puppies. I wanted a yellow and it said yellow, AKC registered, GRHRCHMH by Senior Hunter. And I go, excuse me? In the newspaper?
It's not like very newspapery.
No, you never. And back then, there like Facebook, I was 22. So this is, 10 years ago, because Buck's going to be 10. So let's say 10 years ago. I know, I suck. 10 years ago, there was no Facebook retriever page. There was no...
Not a good one, at least. Yeah.
No, there wasn't one, dude. It was not... Parents and grandparents weren't on Facebook. It was college kids. It hadn't developed what it is now. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you probably don't even know, because by the time you were on Facebook, it was becoming what it is now. So you had the newspaper, you had word of mouth, and you had RTF, Retriever Training Forum. That's how you found litters. So I see these GRHRCH. And I call these people. By the way, my parents were on vacation. I was still living at home. So I call these people. He was $750, which back then, you know, around $1,000, you were buying a really good puppy. So I call him and I'm like, I'm barraging this person because you put Grand Hunting Retriever Champion puppies in the newspaper in Syracuse, New York. Like, what is the deal? And they're like, nope, yep, the father's this. I looked him up, sure as heck he was. Yep, looked the mother up, sure as heck she was. And I called my mom. It was Mother's Day. I called my mom, and I go, hey, how are you? And they're on the beach in Florida visiting my grandparents. And I said, do you love me? And she's like, oh, honey, I love you so much. And I'm like, ah, yeah, I love you too. I'm like, listen. Listen. How much you really love me? She's like, honey, I love you. I love you so much. I'm like,
because she didn't know.
She had no clue what I was doing. She thought this is a sweet Mother's Day thing I'm doing. I'm like, well, I found a puppy. And she's like, excuse me, what? I'm like, yep, I found a puppy. But, you know, I'm living in your home. I want to make sure, you know, you and Dad are on board for this. Honey, if it'll make you happy, I love you and I want you to be happy. And I'm like, All right. Well, you have a great Mother's Day. I'll see you later. I'm driving to Ogdensburg, baby.
I'm pulling in their driveway now, so that's good.
Yeah. So I remember we were at Aunt Shannon's house celebrating Mother's Day with Grandma and all our family.
Yep.
My mom is one of 10. She's the first of 10. So our family gatherings are like a village meeting.
It's a rodeo.
Yeah, it's a village meeting. So now I walk out of Aunt Shannon's bedroom or kids' room or wherever I was, and I'm like, all right, my sister, Kelly, let's roll. We're leaving. They're like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to get a puppy. And we drove, I don't know, let's say we were having brunch. We drove to Ogdensburg, roughly 2 hours away north, picked out Buck. I actually wanted a darker yellow male, and the one that I pulled out of the litter was the only dark yellow. He wanted nothing to do with us, and he wanted nothing to do with a bird or a pigeon that he had frozen. And so I was like, you know, we'll put him back. Let's pull another one out. And the next one I pulled out was Buck. He was batshit crazy for the pigeon, loved being near us, was adventurous and inquisitive. And
that's old Buck. So how'd you settle in on his name?
Well, Bob Owens, Buck Owens. My grandpa Owens used to call us Little Buck, Young Buck, and Buck Owens. And I always thought a badass gun dog's name would be Buck. So when you combined grandpa and, you know, just kind of cool that Buck Owens, country yeah. music singer, and it's a cool name. I had that name picked out for years.
Oh, I remember that. How'd you pick out his real name? His AKC name or whatever.
Yeah, so his registered name is Running with Wild, Wild Women. So when I was living in Ireland, I played rugby in Ireland. It was kind of like a farm team. So for baseball, you would play on, like, for us, it's the Syracuse Chiefs, Sky Chiefs, or whatever they are now. And if you do well, you move up to the Blue Jays, Toronto Blue Jays, I think. I mean, this is
no,
like
that was like 10 teams ago.
Yeah.
That's all right. Who they play for now.
It's the Mets? Oh, yeah. Cool. Hey, that's neat.
Tim Tebow was here or something.
Tebow. Raise up. Praise up.
Yeah, that guy.
So, anyways.
It's a farm team out there.
Yeah, so, like, you could have played, you know, this was like, they called it J1. And J1 was like, the next level up would be almost pro, and from that almost pro, you'd be playing pro rugby. Super great people, and what an experience. But in rugby, first off, shout out to anybody who plays rugby. I want to know. Direct message me if you play rugby. That'll be sweet to find out. So, anyways, we sing songs. You play against another team. You go to a bar. You go to a party. And you sang rugby songs. And all of us in college, like let's say I played at St. Bonaventure University, we traveled to University of Buffalo or Penn State or Fredonia or Geneseo. We traveled around Central New York playing rugby, and we would sing songs like Yogi Bear and Hey Baba Luba. And
not songs that you can sing on
no.
this.
No. So we would sing these songs, show. And the other teams knew them. They were rugby songs. We all knew them. And if you screwed up the song, you'd drink, or you'd shoot the boot, or you'd do all sorts of crazy, awesome stuff at a rugby party. Well, Ireland's no different. So we go to the bar, and we played a team called Tralee. It was a city in Ireland called Tralee. And we're sitting in the bar, and they start singing this song. Cigarettes and whiskey and wild, wild women. They'll drive you crazy. They'll drive you insane. The kicker is, this is a Muppets song from like 1970s. YouTube this. Everybody go, pause, go to YouTube on your phone. Unless you're driving, then I would recommend you don't. And type in cigarettes, whiskey, and wild, wild women - Muppets. And it's going to pop up like 1974 or something. And you've got this dude sitting around a bunch of Muppets, and they start singing, cigarettes and whiskey and wild, wild women. They'll drive you crazy. They'll drive you insane. And like this whole bar is just going, and I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome. I love Ireland. And so in your AKC, you have a certain number of letters. You know, like, let's say they give you 36 letters. Well, cigarettes, whiskey, and wild, wild women was too long. So I thought, all right, well, what if he's running with wild, wild women? You know, he'd be a stud dog. I was hoping he'd be the best of the best. And
somebody just put the YouTube link in there for you.
Nice.
Instagram Live. So if anybody's interested, Well, I'm assuming that's what that is.
Yeah. Dude, you want me to keep singing?
No, I see how jacked up you are, though.
That's great.
So anyways, I tweaked it, but it has meaning. So, like, you got Buck Owens, you've got Running with Wild, Wild Women, and actually every dog I've owned in some way, shape, or form is named after a song. So Memphis is Lone Duck's Queen of Graceland, but Memphis is from the song Walking in Memphis, which is a family favorite of ours. Our sister loves that song. I love
just
that song.
Go-to, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a go-to for a cool party, like end of the night, great song. Karaoke nights, whatever. So that's where she's from. Quinn is... Oh, well, I had to use her kennel name, and it's Razor and Lone Duck's Fire Mountain, and it's a Grateful Dead song. Fire on the mountain. All right.
Nobody tuned in today thinking they were going to get a full-on... Yeah.
And then Brew is Lone Duck's One More Drink, which is a Dave Matthews song. Bartender, please, one more drink. Could you make it strong? Cause I don't need to think she broke my heart. My grace is gone. One more drink and I'll be gone. Okay, so that's where it all came from, everybody. Andy,
these were supposed to be quick hitting songs.
I know,
or quick hitting questions.
Andy doesn't have a registered name. I gotta still register her raggedy ass,
and so that's her name.
Raggedy. Well, it is, but I don't know a song for raggedy. Write that in. Maybe there's a rap song. But it's usually songs I like, so make it a cool one. Go ahead. Next AMA.
How come you prefer Black Labs?
Once you go black, you never go back.
What are your thoughts on grits?
Love grits.
Why?
I'll tell you the truth. If you just gave me a bowl of plain grits, I will eat them. I can't do oatmeal. I hate oatmeal. I don't like the consistency. I can choke it down because it's healthy for you, but, like, literally, I almost throw up when I eat it. It reminds me of baby puke.
How often do you eat baby puke?
You been puked on by a baby? Probably not, actually.
No,
you don't hold
no,
babies.
No. Why would I? They just puke on you.
Right. Well, it's like oatmeal. So I don't dig oatmeal too much, but grits, I do enjoy. And it's, like, not that different as far as, like, soupy, slimy, gritty, whatever.
Grits.
But if you put a little cheese and butter and salt and pepper and you mix it in with your egg and you put some bacon and you slap it on your toast, maybe a little corned beef and hash.
Get you some.
Yeah, grits.
I know that you really like your trailer. You have an 18-hole dog trailer. It's pretty awesome. But what kind of truck do you drive?
Dodge Ram 3500 Cummins, baby.
Why?
Ram nod. I'm trying to start the ram nod across the country, so if you see me and you drive past me, I'm going to go like this to you. Ram nod. Team ram nod. Not ram rod. Team ram nod. So
people who honk
we do need to have like a hashtag ram nod. So let's start that. Why do I drive a Dodge Ram? Because it was a lot less expensive than an F-350. I love Fords. I love the look of Fords, but it was like $20,000 less.
Didn't you used to have a Ford?
I had an 06 F-250. It was a 6.0 engine, and I totaled it in a snowstorm. Like, what's up, Andy? I'm sleepy. Maybe 6 years ago, I totaled it.
Was that probably your favorite past truck? Because you had a few now.
My first truck ever was a 4-cylinder stick shift Toyota Tacoma, 2009, if I remember the year. Then when I was starting Lone Duck, I had dreams of like buying a camper with a, what's it called, toy hauler. So it would have a back section where you could have all your inventory and travel to all the hunt tests and all over the country and train with people and haul this camper, and I would sell my gear out the back of it. And so I bought the F-250 because I was traveling a ton, and it never worked. It never worked out to do that. I'm glad it didn't. That would have changed the course of my life and career, so I'm glad I didn't do that. But
I bought the F-250 because I was actually traveling up and down the coast a lot, and I was pulling like an 8x12 trailer, and you could have done that with a 1500. So after I totaled that truck, I had a...
Is that your Colorado?
I didn't have a Colorado. That's child's play. I had a Sierra 1500.
You did?
Yeah, the silver one. Hmm. Yep. So I had the Sierra, and then I put a four-hole topper on that. And that's kind of what started the training. My first topper was an old Shamrock four-hole. I bought it for $650, and I had that for 2 years.
Yeah, a little while.
Got me started.
What was your first gun?
First gun was a Stevens 12-gauge side-by-side that my dad bought me for $100 off a buddy from work. That was my first gun.
What kind of guns do you own now?
My second gun I ever bought was a Remington 870.
Classic.
Then I
Blue
have...
Collar Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That gun...
Yours kind of stunk, though, actually. Mine's awesome.
Yeah, Kevin's got the like a good 870. I had, like, the shit one. And truthfully, everyone says, how do you jam a pump gun? I don't know. That thing jammed all the time. You'd have to slam it on the ground to rack another shell towards the end of its career. So now it just rides with me training, and it's like my training popper gun and whatever. So it's still in use, slightly rusty now, not well taken care of. Another gun I have was my Grandpa Owens's. It's a Marlin 22 peep sight, open sight. I haven't shot that in a while. We should go kill squirrels with that before I go south.
Say when?
Yeah, that'd be fun. I've got a 10-gauge Charles Daly Damascus barrel that Grandpa Casey gave me, and that was, I believe, his father's, and it was like early 1900s. I've never shot it. I should.
What? What? 10 gauge? That's not something you just buy.
You can get ammo for it. It has to be really, really like RST, you know, the loads that I need for my other guns and dad's gun.
Yeah.
So you can get it, but I just should take it to a gunsmith and have them look at it and make sure that it's shootable.
Yeah.
But that's a gorgeous gun.
Oh, yeah.
I have a 20-gauge A5. It's a light 20 Browning A5. I have an Ithaca 16-gauge side-by-side that has a matching barrel set that Matt Decay gave me. That's sick.
Real cool.
22-inch barrels, 26-inch barrels, and 30-inch barrels. That's from the early 1900s.
Got a deer gun, too.
I've got a 16-gauge Ithaca Model 37 with a scope on it for deer. I've got...
What else?
Pistol. Yeah, I got a Smith & Wesson M&P 9mm. I bought a Savage 270 this year.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't shoot a deer with it, so... That gun sucks.
Yeah, well.
What else? I know. Send it back. Thanks, Joe Pacific. Shout out. Hope people don't mind I use their last names. I guess they can text me and tell me they do. And then I've got one more, and I'm racking my brain on
it. You got a Browning Satori?
Oh, yeah. I was going to leave it the best for last. My Browning Satori, that's my gun. I have all those guns, and 99% of the time I'm shooting my 12-gauge Browning Satori, bent ribs up and down the whole barrel, nicks, broken stock, cracked forearm, best shooting gun. This is not a Browning ad, but if they want to pay me for it, they can.
We just rattle off like 35 other types of companies too, so that's fine.
It's my favorite gun, so
I don't know what I'll do. Shoot guns?
Excuse me?
Remember learning how to shoot guns?
Yeah, Dad taught us. My earliest memory is the sand pit near Racket Lake, New York, at my Grandpa Owens' camp.
Yep.
And Dad would put balloons and milk jugs with water in them, and we would lay down and shoot 22s. His, what gun is it? It's a 22 octagon barrel. I don't remember the make.
I don't either.
I don't know. I'll get back to you all on it maybe, but it's
awesome.
It's sick.
1908.
Was when it was made?
Yeah.
Nice job. But it's an octagon barrel, 22, open sight, and we would lay down, you know, and set it up. And each, you know, my sister would go first, and I would go, and Kevin would be in the car crying because he was a, I don't know. But I was probably 4 or 5.
I was 5 when he let me first shoot.
Yeah, it was probably 4 or 5. And, you know, safety, he taught us how to be safe. And that was my first gun I shot. And then he had another 22. I don't know the model, but it had a scope on it. And
the bolt action.
The bolt action, magazine, everything.
What do you want on your gravestone? I told you he was going to be out of nowhere.
Wow. The first thing that came to my mind is
podcast
R-rated.
Yeah.
Friend to all, lover of dogs. Man, I don't know. I don't even know what goes on gravestones.
I don't either.
Hopefully I'm like 90-something.
Yeah.
Minus dementia. If I have like dementia or something, just off me. But I would have to say I don't know what goes on a gravestone, but I hope people remember me as being friendly, fun, hardworking, and someone who cared about other people.
What do you have to tell people about wrestling goats?
Ah, I didn't know where you were going with it, but now I do.
told you we're going all over.
It's my favorite pastime. I've always dreamed of being in a rodeo. And in South Carolina, a good friend of mine, Hunter, he has, I don't know, it's not
a goat business.
Yeah, he's a goat hustler. Not a hustler. He's a hustler, baby. And he'll buy and sell goats and other farm animals at auction. And, like, he works for a company, Duke Energy. I don't know exactly what he does. I don't know if he's a lineman or whatever. But he's a hustler, and he loves
flipping
the farm
life.
Well, yeah, flipping goats. He loves farm animals. He grew up doing it. He used to break horses and train horses and sell them. He's just always, you know, if I can buy it for 20 and sell it for 40, done. And he might sit on it for a week, but it's getting sold. He might sit on it for 2 months, but he knows he can sell it and make a profit. He's just a cool dude, opened his home to me, a true friend, but he's a goat wrangler, man. And he will go to, like, he'll find goats $50 on Craigslist, and he'll haggle them down to, like, $12 a goat, and we'll drive... We'll drive, you know, to Timbuktu in South Carolina and knock them down to 10 because we're here. And he'll buy, you know, 20 goats and let them out in his pasture and then take them to market and get them for $60, $70 a goat. And sometimes, like, the big goats are even more, $150 goats, and he'll get them for dirt cheap. He'll have stud dog goats. Well, it'd be a stud goat, I guess. What are they called? Billies?
Billy?
Yeah, Billy Goat. Billy Goat Gruff. Right?
I don't know.
Scruff? I don't know. Anyways, so when you unload them, you got to, like, wrangle them. And you got to grab them by the horns and, like, ride them into a stall, if you will. Or else they're going to be, like, kicking and getting squirrely on you. So I was like, give me the biggest. I want the big one, baby. And, of course, we've had some Busch Lights. He was a Bud Light guy. I think he dipped into Miller's, but you know me. I stayed true to my roots.
Yep.
And so we'd had some beers, and we'd had to unload the goats. And, yeah, I love it. Truthfully, I'd wrangle goats all day. That's my – if you said, hey, Sunday we're going and catching goats and moving them, I'd be like, done, game.
You had a good Instagram that people should follow other than you – making a crack about following Lone Duck?
That's a good question. I could shout out my friends.
No, it. That's cool. A friend to everybody. But,
yeah.
But
a friend to everybody until I say suck it. You know, I enjoy Meat Eater.
Yeah, they do have good stuff.
I enjoy their stories. I enjoy the knowledge that they pass on, the recipes. I think they are, what do you want to call it? Like, they're good for our industry. They're stewards of our industry.
That's a good way
they
to put
present
it.
The killing, harvesting, and eating of animals in a articulate, educated, not whack 'em and stack 'em and red bleeding arrow, you know, and they're every 30 seconds not doing an ad, I guess, like I am about Busch Light.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not, excuse me, overly...
No, they're just, they do it right.
They do it right, and they're good. They seem like good people. I like...
You got anybody else?
I'm just trying to think of, I mean, I'm sure everybody's a Meat Eater follower that listens to this. So, but if you aren't, you should check them out. Let me come back to it. I'll think about it.
No, that's good.
I'll think about it.
How often do you like to eat boiled peanuts?
Boiled penis?
Boiled peanuts.
Boiled penis.
Exactly.
Boiled penis. Boiled penis.
Yes.
Not that often, actually. Like, I don't go in a gas station in the South and get boiled penis.
You gotta look into that.
Nah, I don't know. I like them. I'll eat them. But I don't pull over on the side of the road and get them, like, from... I've done it, but I don't know. Maybe I should more. The Southern, like, if I'm going to stop at a gas station and get some, I like pork skins. I never thought I would, but like those, I don't know, they're not called chicharrones, but I don't know, they're good, and they're good with a beer.
If you had to watch one movie on repeat, what would you watch?
Back in the day, I watched Boondock Saints a ton, and like every St. Patrick's Day would be like you'd skip class and drink Guinness watching Boondock Saints, so that would be one. I also liked, what was the one with the kid who dipped out of life and moved to Alaska?
Oh.
Into the Wild.
Into the Wild. I went up there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, where he died, there was like...
The bus? Oh,
over that hill over there.
No shit.
Yeah, it was like private land and stuff like that, so we couldn't actually go over there, but everyone was like, man, people always get... lost over there, and everybody has to go find them, and it sucks.
Yeah, no, I love that movie. I love the soundtrack. I love the idea of going against society and what everybody tells you you should do. Like, oh, you go be an accountant. Well, no thank
you. Accounting things sucks.
Or you might love being an accountant. Mm-hmm. I just, if you love it, do it. But if you don't love it, don't do it because you're told to or you think you should.
Right.
And I thought that movie was a really cool get away from society type of thing.
What is the coolest hunt that you've done so far this year?
This year? I don't know. That's a good question. This year has been a blur, dude. I would say probably the cool one would be...
Or do you have any good hunts planned so far? I mean, you're going down south, so I'm sure you're going to do something exciting.
Well, literally tomorrow in like 8 hours, I got to wake up and I'm driving to Blaine's. And we're going to hunt wood ducks Thursday, and then we're driving to Florida, and we're hunting the Gulf Coast for a couple days, and then I'll be back Sunday. So I'm really excited. Redheads, bluebills, that should be really fun. It's a little cast and blast. We're going to try and catch some redfish and trout in the afternoons. We're going to drink a lot of beer and just decompress. I think probably this year my favorite hunt, it'd be like the week that Steve, Slippery Steve Salamone, and Nick Hippolito took off from vacation, and we used his layout boat, and people were banging on birds in the layout boat while the other groups were banging on mallards in the shoreline, and it was great weather, great bird work. My favorite hunt was with Eric and Nick and you, where you could call a bird from a mile away and he'd turn and come and cup up and do the work. It was the most fun to watch birds. You know, I can get them to turn, right? Like, I can get ducks to turn and work and work and work, but they don't always come close enough. Or they might turn and work, but then they see something and buzz off. These ducks were just doing it. And you could call, like, oh, I see a duck way off in the distance. Usually, I would never even think to call at them. You'd hit the call, wail on it, and here they come. Holy cow, here they come. That was probably my favorite hunt.
That was cool, too, because that was our good buddy's introduction to duck hunting. He'd never done it before, and we woke up and dragged canoes pretty far and paddled in, breaking skim ice. And
yeah, it was neat.
Freezing our...
It was state land, too.
Yeah.
So that was cool, public land. And then the last hunt that sticks out in my memory was when we ran out of gas. Thank you, Slippery Steve. Ran out of gas on Oneida Lake, and we were a distance offshore, but luckily the wind was pushing us toward shore. And we called an Uber, and while Steve was going and getting gas for the boat, we shot 7 Goldeneye and an old common Merg. So we still had fun shooting, but, you know, and that's a memory of the season that'll be fun to laugh at. Suck it, Steve.
Yeah, take that, Steve. how'd you get Andy? As a lab guy, as a retriever trainer, what got you into very tired setter right now?
There's a couple of reasons why I got her. First, I've been training a lot more pointers, so I wanted to hone my skills. And, you know, if I didn't have any pointers in training at the time and Johnny down the road wants to bring me his short hair, I'd have her on the truck to show him, like, hey, this is what I've done. So that is positive. But I've always wanted one. Straight up, I've always wanted a pointing dog, and I've always loved setters. And there was a gentleman, I don't know if I've talked about him on the podcast.
No, you've mentioned him a couple times, but not...
In elaborately?
Well, not like why.
Sure. You know? So my dad grouse hunted and woodcock hunted with this gentleman named E.B. Hendrick. E.B. Hendrick was a World War II vet, a Mensa, which is like a genius. You take a test, you're Mensa, and you're a genius. Really cool old timer. And I remember being young, sitting on his sunroom porch in Florida. His wife would give us like sparkling flavored water before it was a thing. Now it's like everybody's got a LaCroix or La Crux, whatever you call them. LaCroix? Canadians. French Canadian. I don't know. Nothing against French Canadians. I actually like them too, but you get me. I'm kidding.
Syrup. But anyways.
So anyways, these are things I remember, right? This is like childhood memories.
Random flashes in your memory.
Right, and I was young. And he would, in his sunroom, he had English pointer paintings everywhere. All bird dog stuff. And he actually had a home here in Baldwinsville where we're from. And he had horses and would do field trials. And he was one of the founding fathers of pointing field trials here in New York. So, anyways, another thing he did, he gave me a dog encyclopedia. So, it was from the 1930s. It was the AKC Encyclopedia of Dogs. I memorized A to Z, the different breeds, where they're from, their purposes. I could recite it backwards and forwards. It's just what I loved. And I was like 8, 9 years old. And
last
we hadn't had a dog.
Too.
Yeah, probably last book I read. So... his memory and the things he instilled in me, whether he didn't even know he was doing it, have played a role in building my passion for dogs, the unspoken bond, the memories we make in the field. As a kid, I daydream about chasing beagles. I would, you know, read Where the Red Fern Grows 80 times, watch that movie. Like, I wanted a hunting dog so bad. And E.B. Hendrick started that. So fast forward to, you know, now I'm a professional retriever trainer. I don't own a setter. And I'm talking to my friend, Carol, whose husband has English setters. And I was like, you know, I think I'd like one of these days. You know, why not? What's one more dog, right? And she's like, well, you should call our friend Styles Bridges. And I'm like, never heard of him. Sure, give me his number. And I was just kicking tires. I wasn't serious. So I call Styles up, and he's an older gentleman, and he's telling me, you know, about Grouse Ridge, which is an extremely famous English setter line. and he's out of, you know, his lines are out of Grouse Ridge, and he and Grouse Ridge owner were good friends, and they'd trial together, and, you know, they helped develop these lines of famous English setters. And so I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, how did you get started? Or no, he goes, where are you from? I go, I'm from Balenzo. And he goes, oh, no way. I've run a ton of field trials in Balenzo. I go, oh, cool, cool. I used to go to him as a kid and, like, ride my bike and watch him. And I go, you know, not that I'm sounds like it, but it's like, you sound old, but would you know E.B. Hendrick? And he goes, are you serious? How do you know him? And I go, you know, I just told the story that I told you all. And he's like, E.B., I was young, and E.B. got me started. And, like, when he moved to Florida, he gave Styles all the training gear he needed because E.B. was getting out of it. So I'm like, no shit. Well, I guess I'm coming up to meet you. Like, it just was one of those things that the stars aligned. There's a reason why I was given this guy's name. There's a reason why I called him that day. There's a reason why he picked up. And I'm going to get a setter, and it's going to be a female, and whatever. So me and Nick Ippolito drive up, and it was like 10 a.m. He's like, you guys want some training juice? Pulled out a case of Blue Lights. We hammered around on his, you know, Ranger and trained pointer, you know, or setters, and had a riot. And that's how I got Andy.
Raggedy.
Yeah.
She's a good dog, man.
She's a good dog. She's going to have some puppies one of these days.
Love her. Oh, here's a good one. I always like to ask this question. Bust my friend's balls. If you had to, gun to your head, coffee or beer for the rest of your life?
Beer.
So you can't have any coffee in the morning ever? You cold
can, you
cold
can have beer in the morning? No, I'm kidding. I don't know. You know what?
Think about it, though. Like, would, like, beer. At night out with buddies, you'd be like,
because
oh,
coffee's one coffee. Flavor. Beer, you could have IPAs, you could have stouts, you could have Busch Light, you could have all different kinds. It goes good with lunch, it goes good with dinner, it's a nice nightcap. Not that we kid around about this stuff. I don't drink all day, every day.
Yeah, I know.
You know, this is a joke, guys, but, yeah. No.
It's a good question, though, because
it's a good
it.
Question. No, I like coffee, I love coffee, but...
Because I think I go coffee.
Mm-mm. I enjoy trying new beers and, like, going to a... You know, we're going to be in Florida in 2 days. I'm going to try a local Florida beer. I'm not going to try a local Florida coffee. What the heck?
Yeah, I don't know.
Paul de Lima. Green Mountain. Folgers.
What's the most asked question that you answer on Lone Duck's Instagram? Because you get a lot. Most asked. Not that you got to answer it right here, because we probably have answered it on a podcast and refer people to it.
One thing that we need to do a podcast on, like we did with Forest Fetch, would be obedience and steadiness. Those are things that aren't always easy, and there's many things, little tips that you can do to try. And every dog's different. You guys have been following long enough that every dog's a little different, so there's different things you can do for steadiness. There's different things you can do for obedience. Whining in the blind is, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know if it starts as a puppy and, like, I make my dogs be quiet the minute they get home at 8 weeks. You know, we don't stand for whining in the crate. We don't stand for a lot of stuff. And I think that kind of structure and discipline, and I don't mean discipline harshly. I just mean, like, no, not allowed. And then it's not allowed ever, so it never became a thing. They can't whine to get food. They can't whine to go outside. I don't want you to whine to go outside. I'll let you out when I tell you to go out. And I let them out all the time, so they don't need to whine. So, I don't know. I can't tell if those early development things, but anyways, long story short, those are some things.
If you read books, what's one that you would recommend? That was a half joke. What's your favorite bird to eat, and how do you like to cook it, although you don't really cook it?
You're saying because you cook?
Yeah.
I know you cook, but I like it how we posted on the Instagram and on live the other day. I love wood duck. I love mallard. I like shooting mallards the best out of any duck ever. And I like eating them. And so how we cook them, my favorite would be in a skillet with butter, salt, pepper, a little bit of garlic, whap, whap, medium rare to rare.
Eat it. Oh, my buddy that we just traded fish with, or we traded him some walleye and pickerel. Or no, he traded us that, and we gave him some duck and goose. That's how I told him to cook it, and he said it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Shoot or shoot, baby.
Yep. You ever ask people, have people ask you to teach their dogs tricks?
What kind of tricks? I've had people ask me about teaching their dog how to get beer out of a fridge or a cooler. Carrie likes to teach dogs how to, like, shake and stuff. And I always kid around. Back when I had Buck and I was a smart ass, they'd be like, well, he doesn't shake. And I'm like, he doesn't need to shake. He goes out and gets my ducks. He knows how to stop on a whistle and go left. Like, does your dog shakes, but can he go left when you tell him over? No, get out of here. That's my trick. Go pick up a 200-yard mark through ice water, crippled, diving on him.
When you order wings, how do you order wings?
I like them medium, and I like them a little bit crispy. I don't like soggy wings.
How many? My record's 31. What's the most amount of wings you ever eaten?
Do you take them down in one?
I take two down in one.
That's even weirder to say. Do you? All kidding aside, how do you eat a wing? Do you take? What's your favorite wing? The side wing or the drumstick?
Drumstick.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the side wing. It's a little more work. It's fun. And you know how people, like, put them in their mouth and, like, rip it out?
Yeah, I can't do that.
I try. I try and perfect that. I can't do it either.
Nah. Are you eat it to the bone or, like,
oh, you know what? Scratch medium. 24-karat gold at Randy's on the River, St. Bonaventure, New York.
That's my go-to.
Enough said.
Was my go-to. What ducks you got left on your list?
Canvasback, pintail, widgeon. Those are my number ones. I mean, you can get crazy and talk about like a Harlequin and an Eider. You shot the surf scoter. I haven't shot a surf scoter.
Eider would be. Are we ever going to get our mounts?
I talked to Rodney this week.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe we can
my
talk.
My mallard duck is almost done.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, he sent me pictures. It's sick.
Rodney,
my man.
My man. All right. That's cool. What about some places that you want to hunt?
I still have yet to do an Arkansas flooded timber hunt.
Yep, somebody asked if we could do a podcast listener meetup hunt in the flooded timber sometime next season.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I would love to do a client / podcast listener where we like rent out a lodge and everybody chips in. Like, it can't be free. I can't cover everybody. Jeez, I can barely cover myself. But we all pitch in and we get a sick lodge somewhere and, you know, do a 3-day hunt. I think
Kansas guides do that all the time.
I know. I want to do like Kansas and Oklahoma. Those are bucket listers.
Yep.
I want to hunt
the
prairie.
We know people out that way.
I know, dude. I tried. I want to do the prairie pothole region. I want to go to Canada. I want to hunt. There's a place. I'm not going to say the name, but there's a place not far from us. It's like a 5-hour ride, but it is in Canada. And it's like Canvasback City. So I want to do that. So Canvasback, pintail, and widgeon are on my bucket list for like near future. I've killed a bunch of different ducks, but
not the king.
Not the king.
Last question. Big game animals that you would be interested in hunting. You had talked about a little bit of meat eater action, things like that. Obviously,
first of all,
a little bit more big game, but is there anything that you'd be into that would be cool?
I feel ashamed. I've never even killed a deer before. I just don't deer hunt a lot, and I need to practice shooting still. I haven't shot still, like, ever. I just shoot clay birds, and I shoot ducks, and that's what I practice, and I'm good at.
Right.
I don't practice sitting still, controlling my breathing, controlling my heart rate, relaxing, and pulling the trigger. I suck at it, truthfully. Suck.
Not where I was going with all this.
Right, but my point is, like, before I tell you, like, oh, I want to go kill an elk, like, of course I do. But I feel like I tried really hard this year to kill a deer. Like, I would get my stuff done. I'd do night sits. I would get up early, air dogs, sit 2 hours for deer, and then go work all day. Like, I tried hard this year, and I didn't kill a deer. I missed one. Wasn't that far. I just suck. Sucks to suck.
Yeah.
So now my new goal is to, like, this winter, spring, summer, I want to one day a week go and shoot my rifle and my shotgun steadily, you know, steady shooting. bucket list, I think like a nice mule deer and an elk. Those are the two that just look up, you look at them, you're like, damn. Yeah. But again, I feel like my heart would be pounding out of my chest and I'd get buck fever and miss. So I need to get better at that first before I could ever go and take a big game animal.
Yeah.
You got any questions from the Instagrammers? Real quick before we end
this, where can we send a deposit to do a podcast hunt and you can knock off cans in North Carolina?
Big cans in North Carolina.
Hey-o.
Hey now. Hey-o. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. If you'd like, do us a favor. Click subscribe. Click the old 5-star review. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to you listeners. You guys are the reason we do this. It's now like 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. I got to get up at 4 a.m., but you make it worth it because you enjoy it. And you text me via Instagram and tell me you enjoy it. And that truly, truly means the world to us, and that's why we're doing this stuff. So thank you for tuning in. Until next week. Is next week Christmas Eve? Yeah. Yeah, maybe Monday. But we'll get one done for you next week. Love you guys. Peace out. Hey, do me a solid. If you enjoy the show, if you enjoy our Instagram, if we've helped you at all, join patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters. If you do it before September of 2023, you're going to enter to win a hunt with me and Kevin and a bunch of other Patreon members down in Missouri. We're going to smack some ducks, have some fun, do a seminar with our dogs, and have a great time. But jump into patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters. Links in the description, and join the community that helps me help you help your dog.
Hey, listeners, Nick Larson here, host of the Birdshot Podcast. As fans of this show, you may be interested in the conversations on the Birdshot Podcast, where we discuss all things upland hunting, from upland birds and their habitat and conservation to the shotguns, bird dogs, and gear used to pursue them. Whether you're a seasoned upland hunter or just getting started and wanting to learn more, I interview a wide range of guests, each with their own unique perspective and valuable experience to share. If you're on the hunt for more upland hunting conversation, please consider subscribing to the Birdshot Podcast today. We'll